Hey everybody, Cole with Through the Valley. I just want to give a little intro to this episode. I have a special guest. His name's Matt Hannon. He's one of my buddies. I went to school with him in college. We're going to be talking about depression in athletes. And so this is just a specialized topic. And Matt is pursuing a master's degree at UNC Greensboro in athletic training. And so he has written on this topic. And I just wanted to talk to him about his paper that he wrote on depression in athletes. Really fascinating conversation. Given that it's March Madness, literally the madness of March with all the athletes and even the madness that goes on in athletes themselves with mental illness. So we're going to split this talk into two episodes. So the first episode, we're really just going to get to know Matt a little bit and hear his heart, his part of his personal story, but also why he wrote this paper, and just talk about starting off some of the stigma that surrounds athletes with mental illness. And so why don't we see athletes as those who can struggle with depression, and even why is it looked down upon in society? So that's kind of what we're going to hit the first episode, and the second episode is just the continuation of the talk we had. So we get into specific stats about depression in the athletic populations, and then what can we do about it, and what are some helpful tips and really just practices, and even the Christian community, how can we surround athletes who are struggling in this area? So I really hope this is informative for you. Let's get into it. All right, everybody, welcome to Through the Valley. This is your host, Cole, and we are at another special guest episode. So today I have my friend, Matt Hannon, former roommate, former Bible study leader. So I'm really excited to have Matt on the podcast. Welcome, Matt.
Thanks for having me on, Cole. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Matt and I go a little ways back. What was it, 2018? I started getting plugged into college ministry up in Greensboro.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Matt was my Bible study leader. So Matt led studies for me. Matt, what was your first thought of me when you met me?
Oh, geez. First thought was, how do we get this guy to stay? honestly, like, cause that was my first. That was actually my first semester ever really being like involved in ministry in any sort of way, as opposed to just being like a part of the college ministry as a student, but actually like serving within a ministry. And so there was a lot of thoughts going through my head of like, okay, who is this guy? How do we get him to make him want to be interested? How do we get him to stay? How do we get him to like just all of these sort of things going along, as opposed to just chill and let it happen? You know, but thankfully,
I stuck around.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, then I became your roommate. So you did a really good job.
I did. Exactly.
Yeah. Those of you who don't know, Matt and I went to school together at UNC Greensboro. So we both graduated with our undergrad. And now Matt is still there pursuing master's in athletic training. So, but tell us a little bit about that, Matt, what you're doing, and just why you're going into athletic training.
Okay. So what athletic training is it's not like personal training where I'm taking people to the gym and teaching them how to exercise and stuff. So athletic training is actually under the realm of sports medicine, and has to do more with like acute care of injuries. So like broken bones, sprained ankles, sprained knees, like acute sort of traumatic injuries and some chronic injuries that occur due to participation in sports and athletics. And then in some settings, just like everyday life with joint injuries, like we can take care of some of that as well. And then we also deal with rehab and treatment of those injuries in addition to that. And obviously, as you may have seen from like watching college football, the NFL, like we also cover games and practices of where if somebody gets hurt on the field, we are the first responders who go out and help take care, make sure there's nothing like seriously wrong. And if there is something seriously wrong, we are trained to give that sort of care. Say like if there's a broken neck or concussion or something serious to that nature.
Yeah. First line for athletes.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Some sense. I was actually Matt's taping buddy, over one.
Oh yeah.
COVID summer. So we we were in our house and he was just taping my leg all day. No, but I couldn't do what you're doing. So it's definitely a skill for it. But hey, as we start the podcast, I always just like to ask our guests just kind of what they're reading in scripture and maybe how God has been speaking to them and applying the truths of God's word to daily life. So if you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit about maybe what God's been teaching you right now.
Okay. So it's not directly related to mental health. Actually, it's not really related to mental health at all. But so kind of like something I've written down in my notes lately is when I was on Mark chapter 4, it has to do with the parable of the sower. And we often look at it from this perspective of, well, we see the different seeds and whatever, and those are alike to the different people that we witness to and the different people that hear the gospel, and that we don't necessarily know what type of soil that seed falls onto. We're just called to sow it and to share it. But however, when I was reading it recently, I was thinking it from another perspective of, well, we can't choose where the seed goes necessarily, but we can, but if we think and reflect this back onto ourselves, we can help decide what type of soil we're going to be when the seed falls on us. So what I've written is like, there are different types of seeds, some that fall on good soil and some that fall on bad. We are not discriminatory of the soil of which it falls onto, but we will know the good soil by the fruit it produces. With that being said, which soil are we? If we truly deserve to love God and spread his word, then we must show ourselves as good soil that is unhindered by worldly desire. You know, and so I think sometimes, especially within the Christian church, like we get this idea that we're all on that, we're like, just because we're all Christians, we're all good soil. Mm-hmm. Necessarily, we've all made ourselves seeds that have fallen on good soil. Mm-hmm. Whereas the reality is that we have to be constantly paying attention to thorns and weeds and other stuff that come into our lives that try to take us from that good soil and turn us into one of the seeds that fell on the other soils, like that want to choke us out or that want to make us have a shallow faith or whatever. And so like it takes work and it takes some sober-mindedness to really think about what kind of heart we're presenting to God and we're allowing him to sow into.
Yeah, dude, I really like that. I think about that, you know, in scripture, there's always like the phrases like, let no root of bitterness grow in you, or even like in John 15, where Jesus is talking about being the vine where the branches and he's the gardener, like that image of being good soil. I think that's true. Like every time we can let sin and even the cares of life creep in our lives, that makes it rocky for the gospel to really be planted. So yeah, I really like that perspective. I've never really heard it that way. So yeah, thanks for sharing.
It's amazing how the Holy Spirit kind of like guides your perspective sometimes. Like sometimes we read some things that we've heard like 1,000 times. We're just like, oh, here we go again. And then this time I read it and I'm taking notes, I'm paying attention, and it's just like, just clicks.
Yeah, that's why I emphasize it every podcast. We wouldn't be anywhere without God's word to us, even in our darkest times. So yeah, so let's get into kind of the meat of the subject. We're going to be talking about just mental health and athletics. It's March Madness, and so literally playing on words here. Matt wrote a paper for his graduate class. You just kind of want to give a little synopsis of that. That's kind of what we're just going to be jumping off talking about.
Yeah. So it's been something that's been on my heart for a while, like ever since I was an undergrad, and that I think there's a lot of athletes, young and old, that don't necessarily notice the effects of mental illness on themselves. Like, I think it gets very easy for things to get covered up by busy schedules, always having something to do, always like being fatigued as opposed to that schedule. And so like we don't do a good job of sitting down and reflecting on whether the athletes that we, whether they're our kids, they're our friends, family members, or even the ones that we look up to or work with, like we don't pay attention to whether they're really doing well from that perspective or not. And so this paper, we had to choose a sort of just a general medicine topic, because that was this class, it was general medical conditions in the athlete. So since this is something that's, you know, sort of on my heart in my future as an athletic trainer, like I chose to write this paper titled Depression in the Athletic Population. Just kind of like investigate it further and give some real life examples from some athletes who have gone through untreated mental illness and how it affected their lives and how it affected their performance and how we can do a better job, like not only, you know, for people like me in the healthcare profession, but also, you know, in general of understanding and maybe find ways to help prevent some of these conditions from developing in our future generation of athletes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. After reading this paper, I mean, my eyes were open to a lot. And I think you and me on this podcast, we represent kind of both sides. You're going to the athletic, you know, population to directly deal with them, but I'm more of a spectator. I just watch them play. And so I think on both sides, we need to know how best we can be aware of this. And I'm really excited to get into this. There's lots of good stuff. But let's just start personally. And I know I like to get personal, but I'm just going to be reading some stuff off your paper and just talking about it. So I know you, Matt. So we talked about this plenty of times, but never on a podcast together. But your paper, you talk about you in your first paragraph talking about you hurting for others who are going through the same thing. And then you talk about as an athletic trainer, as a future athletic trainer, this aspect of my life, basically mental health, makes me feel empathy and compassion towards athletes that are dealing with mental health illness and do not feel comfortable talking about it or have the feeling that no one around them understands or cares. And that was one of your quotes. So just kind of talk through that, maybe a bit personally with mental health, and then why it has urged you, even in your pursuit of a career, to have this perspective.
Okay. So I'm just going to kind of start with just like a little bit of a history. So I would say like I first started showing signs of like depression and anxiety and maybe like some social anxiety disorder, seasonal affective disorder, back to when I was in high school. But when you're that age, it a lot of times gets attributed to just like hormones and that sort of stuff or whatever, you know. But as life went on, eventually I got to college and, you know, thinking back, like I can still see where some of that stuff like maybe got a little bit worse as I got into college. Even though like I was around a good friend group, you know, I was plugged into the church that we used to go to together, Lawndale Baptist Church. You know, I had friends there, but like even being alone by myself sometimes on campus, like I would still have these compulsive or depressing thoughts that sometimes like I just couldn't stop. And then eventually, you know, we're making it forward and whatever. And then sort of towards my junior and senior years, like I started having tough points in life, just tough situations, tough circumstances that I had never dealt with before that I didn't know how to deal with. And that served as sort of like a trigger to kind of make me delve a little bit more into my like periods of depression and anxiety and uncertainty. And whatever, until eventually I hit a point, one summer, kind of like into the fall, where like, I realized I was having obsessive compulsive thoughts, like that I just like couldn't stop. And then the worst part of it for me was when I realized like I was having consistent thoughts, not necessarily like I was going to take action on these thoughts, but just simply the thoughts of committing suicide. And that was sort of like after like a month or two of that, and, you know, eventually like opening up to like you and like a couple others, like eventually I was led to start receiving some counseling and some help for the things I was struggling with mentally that I just didn't know how to talk about, didn't know how to process. In some ways, couldn't process without some specialized help. And so I found my way over to a Christian-based therapy group that really helped me just air out a lot of stuff that was bothering me, really helped me restructure my thinking, and gave me tools that I could use to improve my mental health going forward. And so just thinking back on that, like, that's why I have a heart for to help others who struggle with those same things, because I was once there. So like, I have somewhat of an empathy for it, or I guess not somewhat, but I have empathy for it. In that I don't want other people to just be alone struggling with the same thing, whether they know it or not, you know. And like, I might be jumping ahead a little bit here, but like, I've seen it in some of the athletes I've gotten to work with over the past year and a half, where I'll see signs of it. I'm just like, whoa, let's try to see if we can steer this thought in another direction, you know? Yeah. You know, and then, you know, with my work in athletic training, like, I see specifically like with athletes, how that's a little bit different than what it is in the normal, you know, population.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that and just putting your heart on a sleeve there. I mean, it takes a lot to do that. I think just a few observations about that. I mean, man, I relate to that so much. A very similar story in some sense. It's different experience, but similar way. Like, I noticed personality things and things in my life where maybe I was prone to that in high school age, like having those feelings, but didn't know really how to put a framework around it. And even as a Christian sitting in a pew on a Sunday morning, like, you feel alone. So even just hearing, like, if you're out here listening right now, like, two Christian guys, like, struggling with depression and these things, like, it's real. And man, I just really appreciate your story and just walking through it with you through a lot. We know that, like, it'll probably never go away to some degree. Like, we'll always have that. Those tendencies and different life events could spur on different seasons, but the faithfulness of God through it, and maybe we've got each other and the Christian community. And that, like you said, having somebody to talk to about it, just opening up, man, that's what we need to do. We just need to, you know, open the can and pour out all the stuff that's been locked up for a while, even in Christian culture. So I'm really excited that we can do it together. So yeah, let's get into really the meat of the subject. Just kind of looking at depression in athletic populations. Really the first thing, you kind of hit on it, but maybe let's talk about some stigma. There's always stigma when it comes to mental health, but stigma in athletic populations, specific things they may struggle with, or why there is a stigma that is, there's an expectation why athletes shouldn't really struggle with this. Elaborate on that a bit.
Okay. So I have a couple that I've sort of quoted and written down that were quoted from my own paper. So I guess I'm quoting myself. Feels kind of weird, honestly. But anyway, so the first one I have written down is, and this is one that I've heard before, and one that, you know, before I learned more about it, like, I was guilty of thinking and saying myself, of like, we sometimes think that athletes make too much money to be depressed. You know, we get stuck in this worldly, fleshly thinking of like, well, they make too much money, they can just get whatever they want, they shouldn't be depressed, they have like literally everything, they don't have the right to be depressed or like have any sort of mental illness, just simply they have, because they have money. You know, which, you know, I think we all know from experience, like, it's wrong. Like, we can't, like, we know within ourselves, like, I know from myself, like, I've had this thought of like, well, what if I just have more? And like, that leads to depression. Well, it's the same thing, you know, with these athletes. Like, even though they have more money than I do, like, they still struggle with that same sort of thought of like, well, what if I have more? What do I have to do to have more? Mm-hmm. And so I think this comes down to the fact that money is not a end all to anything. Like, it's, money is two things. It's an object and it's a tool. Mm-hmm. So it can be used as an object, as something to desire, as something that we place value in, as something that we aspire towards earning. And then it can be used as a tool to acquire other things that we think can produce health. But eventually, like this kind of just becomes an endless cycle of wanting money. And then when you have the money, wanting what money can acquire.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is we just always want more because we get the thing that we want to acquire, but then our feeble, fragile, squirrel concentration minds like see something else that we want. Yeah. And we're like, I want the money to buy that instead.
Sure. Yeah, like, I think money's a big thing. Like we think, oh man, you know, they have all the money in the world, so they shouldn't deal with this. But I mean, that's like, you read Ecclesiastes and Solomon has everything in the world, but yet he's like, everything is futile. Like, that's why, I mean, we see celebrities and have depression, divorce, suicide. I mean, there's a reason why this is happening. I think that's what you're touching on there. What's another stigma or something of why athletes shouldn't deal with these things?
All right. So second thing I have written down is they play a game for a living and have no idea what it's like in everyday life. I think this is one of the more common ones that we hear like with media, with sports casting, like even just among fans. Like we hear celebrities and athletes complain about something. They're like, you play a game for a living. Like you don't get to act like you do, like you know what it's like in everyday life. And sorry for the voice. It's terrible. That's not one of my better voices. But that's an easy perspective to think about from a fan or a spectator perspective. But when you're around a lot of these athletes, whether it's just at the college level, at the professional level, even at the high school level, for a majority of them to get to that kind of level, this isn't just a game. This is a job. Yeah. And they are working for that job. This is their everyday life. So this is the job, this is their 9-to-5 that they go to every day. And they have people depending on them to do that job well, including teammates, coaches, family members, and potentially many more people whose livelihood is directly affected by this one athlete's ability to perform their job. You know, so like we can just use the example of LeBron James. LeBron James, you know, throwback to Vine. Sorry, I had to do it. You know, like when LeBron James is playing well, he makes everybody else around him look better.
Yeah.
You know, and people on his team depend on them to do a good job of passing the ball and shooting. And if he doesn't do a good job of those things, of making plays and making shots, whatever, that reflects on his teammates and that they don't get assists, they don't get rebounds, they don't get scoring opportunities. And then that reflects on coaches and that it looks like the coaches can't figure out a way to win either. So even if LeBron James starts performing badly, it affects the rest of it, rest of the company. So it's sort of like if, just think of something else. Let's use a Subway, for example. Like, I know it's a crazy example, but like if the sandwich makers don't do their job right, then it reflects on the general manager and the owner of that Subway that they can't do their job right either.
Yeah. It's just right? General principle. I think what you're getting at there is we don't see athletes as having like a real job, like in the sense that their performance will affect other people. And I think like on a professional level like that, I mean, there's so much money involved too. And I mean, so much airtime and fans, you know, I've heard people say, man, like this person stunk it up on the court today. Like, and they don't even know the athlete. I mean, we just put them on a pedestal. Yeah. And that's a lot of pressure. But then even on a collegiate level, like you're saying, I mean, these kids have classes. And on top of that, I mean, they're in a college, on a college campus, trying to navigate their purpose in life. And then they have like pretty much another full-time job on top of it. I mean, I talked to several athletes at Wingate. It's a big athletic school. And so many, I mean, it takes up so much time and energy. And I mean, it could wears on them a lot. I see the difference between the on season and the off season in these students. So it's real. I think what you're getting at is good there.
Yeah. At the university I'm currently working at, athletes are like with the team I'm currently work baseball team I'm currently working with, they have class till about 12:30 in the morning. Then they come to the athletic training room to get treatment between 1 and 3. And depending on what group they're in, they either go lift before practice or they have to be at practice by 2:00, 2:30, 3:00. Practice runs until 5:30. Then they have lift at either 5:45 or 6:30 or something like that. And with a lift lasting probably about an hour, you know, like they're not done till about 7:30.
Right.
And so that's 6 or 7 hours of where they have to focus solely on this job of being an athlete. And like, I know there's a whole argument of like, well, they get paid. No, they don't get paid. But like, in a sense they do. Like many of these athletes are on full scholarships, and if they don't do their job, those scholarships can get revoked and they can be asked to leave.
Right.
You know, and so they're part of their, for many of these athletes, and you see this a lot, especially in college football and college basketball, a lot of them are at college and able to go to college and get an education simply because of that athletic scholarship to begin with.
Right.
And so there's a whole lot more on the line to doing their job right than just making shots or making plays.
So I hope the first half of this special guest episode was informative for you, as it was for me. I learned a lot from Matt and just listening, just about the stigmas that carry along with athletes and depression. So next episode, we're just going to get into some stats and looking at how we can help. So looking forward to continuing this conversation with Matt, and the next episode will be out next week. See you then. All music in this podcast is provided by the host himself, and if you would like to support this podcast, you can look in the description below or support on Patreon.